The point of it all is the spirit of Elijah, what Elijah was really noticed for, was that he fathered Elisha. He took a young man who was out just plowing in the field, and he said, if you'd like, come alongside, and I'll come alongside you. And we'll just hang out together and see where it goes. And over a period of time, what was in Elijah was imparted to Elijah to the extent of a double portion. There was an inheritance. There was an increase. And so we have this prophetic scripture referring to, in part, John the Baptist, but also to you and me. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Notice it was great for those who received Jesus and dreadful for those who did not. It's speaking of his first coming. But let's move on. Oh my goodness. All right. We got a little extra here. And he shall turn the heart of the... Let's say this together. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And that's where the Bible ends. This continues to go on and argue whether God even wrote this. But I don't care what it says, God wrote it. Ever read these commentaries and said, John really didn't write the book of John? Many scholars feel that it was somebody else, you know. And it's like, forget that. You know, God wrote it, and whoever he used is inconsequential. The fact is, God said this. And he's talking of a phenomenon when God is going to move in the hearts of fathers, particularly spiritual fathers. And this is generic. This was just speaking culturally where, you know, the men were, it was a patriarchal society, so, you know, everything was men-oriented. But, you know, looking through the grid of the New Testament, it's referring generically to men and women, sons and daughters, fathers and mothers. All right? And it says that God is going to send forth the spirit of Elijah. That's a spirit of power. But it's also a spirit of nurturing, of fathering. Now, I imagine that as a father, Elijah was pretty hard to get along with. You know, he's a pretty tough guy, you know what I mean? I mean, what he calls out she-bears to get rid of some kids who were bothering him because they called him bald. And, you know what I mean? It kind of gives an idea. And Elijah wasn't too much better. He called down fire from heaven, didn't he? And smoked everybody. But the point of it all is these were rough guys. And then John the Baptist comes on the scene with the same spirit of Elijah. And he's a pretty rough guy, too, you know. Folks come out and he says, who warned you of the wrath to come, you brood of snakes, you vipers, you white... Oh, I think it was Jesus who said whitewash sepulchers. But, you know what I mean? It was just whew, pretty strong stuff, you know. You know, these guys probably came out quite a distance out into the wilderness to see him, and they're greeted with, you know, who warned you of the wrath to come, you know. And pretty rough guy. But nevertheless, they're the forerunners of the modern-day father that God wants to raise up in the same spirit, but maybe a little bit different method. But the point of it all is that God is talking to fathers and mothers. And so I'd like to try something here. All of you who are under 30, could you stand up? Just don't hurt. Just go ahead. Okay. So, those of you who are over 30, you look around and you say, have I committed myself to any of these to help them fulfill their dreams? Okay, you sit down. Now, all of you who are over 30, stand up, please. Now, those of you who are under 30, you would, okay, Raymond, you could stand up. Okay, you're something. You just, how do you do it? You look so young for your age. the question you, the group that just sat down, need to ask themselves, to whom in this room have I committed my life to giving authority to these folks to work and to speak into my life? Okay? You may sit down. Some of you could say, oh yeah, oh, I'm meeting with that one and I'm working with that one. And others would say, well, I got a lot on my plate. Okay, that's fine. What God is offering is an invitation. It's, you know, he offers this, and he says, I'm going to send in the last days my spirit of Elijah. And it's a fathering, it's a mothering spirit. It's a nurturing spirit. And he says, a man becomes a father and a woman becomes a mother when they offer themselves as a resource and as a source of life. As a resource to someone else and as a source of life to that one as well. It's when you take the time to show value by giving them your time and significance. You know, so many people don't realize their gifts and callings because nobody has ever affirmed them to them. And so they go through life talking themselves out of their inheritance because nobody's really released value to them, significance. And I know what that's like. I went through a real struggle in my early days because I heard from God a lot. Because God took me out of all sorts of activity and he pulled me away where I was with him for just a 6-month period alone with him. It was just me and God every day. And this was very early in my development. And God did this so that I would hear his voice and learn to hear when it was really him. And wow, we have some fun adventures in that period of time before he released me to another church and I got active. I became an elder and got into all the activity thing, but never forgot that experience. But in the process of growing in the church, God began to speak things again to my heart that he had spoken to me back when I was digging up potatoes in the potato yard. And that's where I got my call to pastor. And when I started working with this other pastor, he would not acknowledge the gifts that were in me. He just wasn't discerning that way. He saw me as a worker and a servant, and, you know, I just got doing the stuff. And he would never communicate to me my gifts, my calling, my potential. But God, in his faithfulness, would send prophets. And he would send, encouragers along who would share that word prophetically to my spirit. And I shared this before, but I remember one time my pastor had in Judson Cornwall, who became my spiritual father. But I'd been resourcing his tapes and books for years, and then suddenly he's in the office. And he was sitting down in a chair talking with the pastor when I walked in. And when I walked in, his face lit up. He stood up, ran over to me, shook my hand, and then embraced me and says, "Brother Vaughn, I've been so looking forward to seeing you and talking with you." It was like Jesus himself. I mean, this guy was larger than life, and he even knew my name. And there was a communication of value and a communication of spiritual life that just spoke volumes to my life. I mean, just, you know, I was in a particularly down time at that moment, and he came. And then that afternoon, I took him to home. Well, no, it was a couple days later. I took him to the airport, and he was in a hurry. But before he got out of the car, I said, "Could I just pray with you and impart a portion of my spirit to you?" I said, "No, you've got a plane to catch. Go on." And he laid hands on me, and I felt the virtue. I mean, this, I've had hands laid on me and nothing happened. But all of this was the virtue of the Holy Ghost. And his teaching gifts began to come upon me, and just, you know, ideas. I was driving home and ideas were just coming to me. I was, you know, almost went off the road trying to write them down. And I was just like, oh, and, yeah, this is great stuff, you know, and it's like, wow, this is really real. And I remember those moments of fathering. It was hit or miss. It was here and there. And but the Lord would make up the gap because he didn't want me to be an orphan, a spiritual orphan. There are a lot of them out there, some in the church, young folks that, you know, don't really know what their gifts or calling are. And, you know, you do. Because God always gives that to the parents, a sense of the way they should go. And so the Spirit of Elijah came upon these men. I remember this one guy. He's a crazy Italian evangelist. The back of his car was all filled with stickers. And, you know, I mean, the guy was crazy, you know. And he loved to take people through the streets of New York at breakneck speeds and give them a ride of terror and share with them, "Are you ready to meet Jesus?" You know, I mean, he was crazy. He was just a crazy guy. But, you know, but he came and stayed with us for just one night. And the word of the Lord came through him, and he shared something at a critical moment, because I was at a point of just wanting to throw it all away. I just was so tired of the whole thing. And God was really breaking me down again. And you know, it's just totally discouraged. And he just comes into the picture and just shares a word, just breaks that oppression over me. And then he's gone. And God will do that. He'll send folks. If he can't get somebody to do it in the local church, he'll do it some other way. But nevertheless, there's a better way. And that is just building a relationship with somebody in the house that needs to feel valued, to feel like they're worth somebody, something. And in the process, you know, God will help you to come alongside them and encourage them into their inheritance as the Spirit of Elijah comes upon you. And the power of God is released to set another free. You know, the neat thing is the Bible talks about how one's inheritance shall be his children's children. I never quite understood that until I became a grandparent. And as I see little Ethan come down, and he's up there waving the flags, you know, and helping us up in worship, and I'm saying, yeah, it carries to your children's children. You know, when you get hold of this thing, it's not only your own children, but it's your grandchildren's and their grandchildren. But it doesn't have to be limited to that. It's the spiritual children in the church. It's the spiritual sons and fathers that are coming up in the house of the Lord, that be just encouraged in their gift. And so we see the need of this in the house of the Lord, because it's really easy to feel disconnected. I remember I met with one gal, and she would come into the church, and she would stay about 5 or 10 minutes and then just go running out. This was another church. Maybe it was here years ago. I don't know. I thought it was by singing, but it wasn't this time. It was just the fact that she didn't feel like she fit in. She felt like she was a round peg in a square hole. I said, I can identify with that. And a word of knowledge, we were praying over her, actually we were in a prayer meeting, we were praying for her. A word of knowledge came through somebody that it might be a spirit of illegitimacy. You see, in the Old Testament, if you did something whereby you brought forth an illegitimate child. The illegitimate child was forbid from coming into the temple for about 10 or 11 generations. I'm not sure exactly how many. It's just a long, long period of time. It's the curse of iniquity that just passes down. So can you imagine the rejection that person must feel when they couldn't come into the central place of worship, which was the center of life, okay, in that culture? So she was carrying something that somebody else had done in her family line way back when, and it was still working its way out in her. And it was very real. She would come in here, she'd run out. She just, they don't like me. I just don't belong. Nobody cares about, and all this mind stuff going on. And how'd she go? And one of the ladies reached out to her and just undertook for her, developed a trust. It takes time. But just developed a relationship. And out of that, one of the days, it just came out, hey, we were praying about you one day, and this came out. What do you think? She said, whoa. And so they just prayed a simple prayer, and that thing was broken. And the next service she came in, she totally felt the warmth and love of God. You just don't know what will happen when the spirit of Elijah comes upon you. But the way to get it going is to reach out to somebody and begin a relationship. That's all. God'll do the rest. You don't have to be a great prophet, preacher, apostle. In fact, it's better if you're not. It's better that you go into this thing without even a clue, because then it's none of you, and it's all of God. And you just go in there, and you're just going to commit to showing them love. And, we would have a tendency not to value those things that we disagree with. Wouldn't you say? Years ago, my son wanted to join a rock band and do this headbanging stuff. And it was this heavy metal stuff. It was just nasty. And then the name of the band was Tread Underfoot. And I was just, this seemed to be totally against everything that I've ever believed in. And needless to say, there was kind of a disagreement. And at the time, I did not value what he was doing. And as a result, I communicated to him I did not value him. But when you're starting a relationship, especially as a father or mother, there's got to be a trust and a loyalty that you establish where you go beyond the disagreement. You know what loyalty is? Is when you value the relationship more than the disagreement. That'll preach. That works in a church really well. Are we going to agree on everything? Lord, I hope not. Probably everybody has a different view on everything else, but that's okay. That's not what joins us together. It's our relationship with him and our relationship with one another, because you are his, you are with me. And if we don't agree on something, fine, I'm not going to let that get in the way. And I'm not going to allow that to take my value of I see in you away either. It gives people room to make mistakes. It gives people room to grow, change. How many of you believe the same thing you did 10 years ago? Have you changed something? Several years ago, many years ago, in fact, I was going to write a book on how to raise good kids. Until my kids started turning 13 and all sorts of things happened that I didn't expect. And I put that aside. But we've got good kids. You know the secret? Loyalty. Where I value them over the things we disagree with. Right now, my daughter Jessica has given us a great deal to pray for. She's doing things that she knows we don't agree with. But she's up this weekend. And I prayed for a special grace that I would just see beyond the disagreement and just... Because you know what you are, you communicate, don't you? You know, if you've got a disagreement inside of you and it can get in the way of the relationship and you can cut that thing off. People are sensitive. They pick up on this. And I said, Lord, you know, just cut this thing away from me that causes me to judge her on what she's doing right now. I just see her as, I want to see her as you do, you know, just a work in progress, immature, but just a work in progress. You know, what really encouraged me was when she called up and said, I was praying. Whoa. The Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and He spoke to me. And I've got to come up and see you folks. Whoa. Whoa. And it's been sweet. We had a great time. She came up. Mom's spending some real quality time with her. And the reason why we have good kids is because we're learning how to show value, even when we disagree. And that's what you've got to learn to do if you're going to walk into this. Because you've got to develop trust with folks that come from some wild. They might mess with you just to see how far they can go before they push your buttons. I found out later when Tim turned 13, he did everything contrary just to see what it would do to me. And he sure did to me. Oh, man, did he do to me. You know what I mean? I'm not real proud about my actions and reactions in those early days. Man, did he push my buttons. And I just, everyone, you know. But thank God for His mercy. He just covers those things, you know. Forgiveness. Repentance. It's good stuff. Anyhow, he shared with me later when he was about 21, he said, oh, I was just doing that. I knew everything you were saying was right, but I just had to do the opposite. You see? And I'm learning to value the relationship over the crazy things those folks do when you enter into this kind of fathering, mothering relationship that the Lord wants us to do. And you know, there's something of a challenge about all this because the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go, not the way you want him to go. Ever think about that? I mean, my kids come out of the generation where I thought Keith Green was too radical. They worked me over good. They came in with some amazing things to push me over to another place of finally accepting Keith Green is okay. But, you know, they weren't made like me. They were just totally different, you know. Every one of them. Every one of them. And if anybody had the message, does anybody have the message, that translation? Not here, okay. You have it? Okay. Anybody know where that is? Isn't it? Train up a child in the way he should go. He should not depart from it. That's Ephesians, isn't it? Yeah. Try Ephesians. Well, Ephesians 6:1 will work. Oh, no, you're not going to... That's the microphone. Joseph, come here. No, Joseph, come here. Would you just read it? Oh, okay. Uh-oh. I was thinking of Yeah, I know, it's the same thing. I'm thinking of another scripture. Okay, Proverbs 22:6. Okay. Would you look that... Read that up and... The trouble is I have so many things going through my mind. I should look at my notes. scary when I... Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's King James. Okay, can you give it to Joseph to read? Nice and loud. That was hard for us to hear. All right, I'm going to try this. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Would you read that again?
There you go. Just the first part.
Point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost. The poor are always ruled over by the rich. So don't...
I guess that's about it. Huh? Okay. All right. Point your kids in the right direction. So when they're older, they won't be lost. John the Baptist had his style. Elijah had his style. Old Testament. What we're talking about is coming alongside to encourage and build up and to give a lot of room for different ideas and different ways of doing things. And that's going to take great patience on the part of those folks that are coming alongside. But you got to remember that where God is taking you is taking years. And if somebody else is just starting, their level of sanctification and perhaps the way they see things is a whole different. And who knows, that might be something you need to get free of something that's holding you in a little bit of a stockade. So you just never know. You know, Reformation happens when generations connect. You study the history of Reformation, it's when one generation intersects with another generation. And what happens is it's a cross-generational thing. We live in a culture that seems to focus on one aspect. You know, the teens go out with the teens. In fact, teens is an American concept. In most other countries, they don't exist. They become adults at 13. And they're considered to be adults, and they are expected to be adults. And so they act like it. But in other places, they've adopted American culture. And in those places that didn't used to have the problem, now they do, thanks to Hollywood. But, you know, so you have this group that focuses together, and you have the older group that focuses together, and you have the younger group. You know, so everybody's moving out into different. But where breakthrough and reformation happens, it changes a whole culture and a whole nation and a church, is when the generations collide in a good way. And that's what this is all about. This is parenting, sort of spiritual parenting. And it's just undertaking for those who need to receive affirmation and value from another. And when you think of it, that just about covers everyone. And so, you know, it's just the type of thing where we just need to consider, what are we doing to embrace the spirit of Elijah in our own life? Are we walking that? Are we walking in the power and demonstration of it? Because, you know, nothing will happen until you take a step of faith and begin to reach out to somebody. And I shared recently a situation real young in my Christian experience where I was sent to this church where the pastor was from a pilgrim holiness background. And he had graduated from Trinity Theological Seminary, and he was very structured and very traditional. And then one elders meeting, the Holy Ghost came and blew all that to pieces. And now he's walking into Pentecost fearfully. So I get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. God speaks to me, says, go to this church. I'm sitting there like you are during the worship time, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes on me. And I got a message. I didn't even know what it was. I just, and nothing ever happened in that church where people would get up and say anything. And I felt something pick me up, and I got up and I shared a short message. And the whole thing stopped. Pastor calls up the elders. They discuss the word point by point. And everybody's just standing there while they're doing this. They form a huddle, and then they break the huddle and they go back, and the service continues. So I guess it was okay. Encouraged by that, the following week, I'm sitting at the service, just minding my own business. Holy Ghost comes upon me again. Oh. Only this time, began to tap into my pride levels. And I started out in the Holy Ghost and went off into the flesh. Uh-oh. I made a mistake. And what you do before all, you are rebuked before all. The elders met. And they rebuked me, told me to sit down and not to prophesy again in that church, publicly. This was my introduction to parenting. I would have not gone back to that church and maybe not even gone to church again had it not been for another brother in the Lord who saw something in me that I didn't see. And he came alongside me, and he said, let's go out for lunch. And I think I shared this with you, but he was in the cars, and he had some others who were in the cars. And we were looking over this car, and I do nothing about cars. And yet, I felt a connection. I felt like I didn't have to know anything about cars and be a show-off, because I couldn't have tried if I tried. And that was unique. I just felt valued. I just felt accepted. Not on the basis of what I could give, but on just who I was. First experience of that. And he encouraged me. He says, you know, come on back again. You've got a gift. You just need to learn how to use it. You made a mistake. It's okay. You'll be a little bit more discerning next time. But don't shut down. Don't shut down. Well, the weeks went on. I went back. And God used me again. But I didn't share the word. I responded to the leadership and just sat on it. Weeks turned into months. And I just prayed. Prayed for the pastor and the eldership and whatever. I also asked the Lord, what am I doing here? Because it just seemed like there was this lid on the Holy. It's like God wanted to break open that place. A couple months later, I get a call from the pastor going, oh. Go to the phone, I'm thinking, oh, what did I do now? And he said, the Lord woke me up, told me I'm going to meet with you every week. I want you to bring your notebook. I want you to bring your pen. We're going to start diagramming sentences. We're going to go through, and we're going to go through the Word of God point for point. And we're going to break down Scripture, and you're going to do verb analysis and sentence structure. I said, oh, just what I want. I mean, come on, you know. But that's the realm he was in. So I come floating into his office, and there began the most amazing father-son relationship you'd ever want to see. And we got into some really hot stuff. I mean, I I'd see things from a completely different perspective as he would. And he'd get really upset with me, turn purple, banging on the desk. It says, it's not in the Word. It's not the way it was taught. He says, well, get your mind renewed. Needless to say, we had this go back and forth. I'm not really proud of the way I was back then. I was real rough. I mean, I basically had come from a situation where I didn't really know my dad. And to enter into a dialogue with another dad figure was threatening, to say the least. So there's all kinds of junk coming out. And I remember one time, I pointed at him and said, you're wrong! And he pointed back at me and says, sit down. And God opened up my eyes and I saw this angel standing behind him that was crouching down from the ceiling. I mean, he was kind of hunched over and he was pointing at me. And the force of that pushed me against the wall and I slid down the wall. Uncle! Uncle! I give in. And he thought he won the argument. I never told him about that, but you know, I began to realize there's a spiritual power that God's trying to impart to me, and I'm fighting it every inch of the way. You know, he's fighting it too. You know, we're just, but you know, I got to hand it to this guy. He valued the relationship, partly because he felt a fear of God and being called into it, not to let it abort. But he stayed with it. He valued the relationship over the disagreements we had. And I was there, all about 2 or 3 years. My wife would tell me exactly how long before the Lord had sent me to another church at the time. But in that time, I had changed a great deal, and he had changed. And we were just good for each other, and that there was a release. You see, it's never a one-way street, is it? God helped break up the stiffness in that church, and they entered into. It wasn't just me. You attract what you are, and I'd go out and tell people. I says, "You got to come to this place because the Holy Ghost is about ready to break forth, and I need somebody else to dance with me all the way down around the aisles." I had my other buddy, and we would dance. We'd be the only ones. We'd dance around the church. We called the dancing duo, dynamic duo. And then others started coming, and gradually Pentecost started oozing into that church. And pretty soon they started getting pretty happy, and you know, really got pretty excited. And you know, some things started to happen. And the neat thing was this: the pastor got released into prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit in a greater measure. God just gave him enough. Because I prayed for him. Oh, did I pray for him. And I'm sure he was praying for me. And there was an honoring of this relationship that went on. And you know, but the fact that he showed me value is what kept me going during those years. And years later, I saw him. He had left that church, which he built. They had a building program, and he built the church. And then things happened, and he left. He was at another place for a while, and then he came back. And when I heard he was back in town, I was up in Messina. I was up there. And so I looked him up, and we got together. And we just embraced, wept, you know. And I just said, I just so value what you imparted to me in those early years of the importance of spiritual parenting. And I want to thank you because you set me on a course where I was no longer an orphan, but I was a son who had a father who cared. And it really made a difference. And I just think, left alone, we have a tendency to beat ourselves up and reduce the potential. We talk ourselves out of things. And to have somebody who's just committed to you, develop a trust, show value, just release life, wait for that spirit of Elijah to come and just release the prophetic word, maybe. Sometimes it's not that dramatic. Sometimes it comes to you. And the other one just affirms that. But that's what it's really all about, isn't it? That's what makes church personal, makes it special. And we have an opportunity to do that every day. You know, God just says, would you like to move in the power of Elijah? Would you like the spirit of Elijah? Would you like to raise somebody else up who have maybe double the portion you do? Would you release somebody into that dynamic? Say, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. In the last days I'll rise up. The spirit of Elijah, turn the heart of the fathers. Starts with the fathers or the mothers. Starts with you reaching out to the hearts of the children. And then the hearts of the children responding back. And you know, it's one thing. This is another thing I learned. I'll close with this. It's one thing if you're the kind of person who'll say, I want to get together with you and I'll take a bullet for you. I value you so much. I'll be willing to take a bullet for you. Actually, I got that wrong. We usually want to reach out to somebody younger than us who will take a bullet for us. That's what I wanted to say. Because they're easy. You know, they're motivated. They want to enter into they're agreeable and whatever. And sometimes the Lord will call you into a relationship where you have to take a bullet for them. And they'll let you. Do you know what a nurturing tree is? A nurture tree is? Think of a nurse tree. A nurse tree. It's when a tree dies, falls to the ground, and rots, decays, turns into humus. And little seedlings stick their roots deep into that humus. Humus. Humus, humility, soil. They sprout up, become strong. Something has to die. And sometimes God calls you to be the nurse tree where you'll take a bullet for somebody when they won't take a bullet for you. But he calls you into it, the spirit of Elijah comes, and something happens over a period of time where that person's changed. And so are you. It's good. And it's life. So I'm hoping that in this church, nobody falls through the cracks. Nobody feels like they don't belong. Nobody feels like they're not valued. It's not my heart. It's not my desire. Obviously, I can't do all this myself. Once a week's a good start, but it's not what it's really all about. It's about relationship, isn't it? About spending time with each other. Allowing the Spirit of God just to flow. And he will. And the impartation. And the neat thing is that God just might give you someone who receives a double portion over what you have. And a father's heart rejoices in that, doesn't he? He says, oh, that's wonderful. He doesn't want it for himself. He wants it for another. Well, there you go. You got the idea. Now, what are you going to do about it? That's the question. So, do we still have anybody under 30 here? Why don't you stand up? Nobody under 30? Okay. Did you age? Okay. Praise God. We want to pray a prayer of blessing and impartation to these folks. Seems like there's fewer than before. Okay. Oh, look at the young kids. Oh, praise God. That's wonderful. Okay, good. Well, you need to stretch the... All right, let's just turn to them and just reach our hands out to them. Father, we just thank you, Father, for these lives. And we just ask that, Lord, none of them go without those who will reach out to them and release life to them. Father, I pray you would raise up those who would be a resource for these folks and a source of life. That, Lord, they would just undertake to be friends and befriend them. And that, Lord, they would not feel like they don't belong, like they're not important, that they're not valued. But, Lord, that they can enter into relationships that would be valued, that would be loyal, that would go through the good times and the bad and be strengthened rather than weakened because of those experiences. And, Father, we just pray that you impart the fullness of their gifts and the fullness of their potential to them. And that they embrace this early in their Christian life. And that they go from grace to grace and faith to faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now the rest of us, come on, let's stand up. And these young folks are going to stretch out their hands to you. And they're just going to pray a blessing over you. Heavenly Father, we just reach out our hands to spiritual parenting to go forth from this church. Not just the members, but those who are yet to be members. Lord, that there will be the spirit of Elijah that will undertake and grip the hearts. Father, we'll make time in our busy days to show value to others. That, Lord, we will just see this as your idea, your plan, your purpose. And as we walk in agreement with it, Father, you will just supernaturally help us get things done as we make time for another. And, Lord, we pray for that double portion to be released through us to them. That, Lord, our inheritance will be not only our own children, but our children's children, both in the natural and in the spiritual. We ask a blessing on each and every one here. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.